This morning, we have a guest speaker, a friend of mine, Pastor Don Brown. He was involved with Placerville's ministry for a number of years, and the Lord moved him from Placerville to Costa Rica. And him and his wife are down there pastoring a church, and I'm not going to get into it too much. I'll let him explain all the details, because I'd probably get them wrong anyway. So, but anyhow, would you please welcome my friend, Pastor Don Brown.
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
Love you. Oh, it's good to be here. It's good to be in the United States for a little while, as crazy as it is. I don't hold it against you guys. We are so blessed. So blessed. I laugh every time I hear my name when I'm here in the United States, because nobody laughs at my name. In Costa Rica, everybody laughs when they ask my name and I say it's Don. At first, I was confused as to why people would laugh. It's a pretty common name, right? Well, in Spanish, Don is a word that shows respect. You know, kind of like you're saying Mr. Brown or Sir or something like that. And so I finally asked after a couple of weeks, what's so funny about my name? And they said, well, because Don seems weird to us. You know, like Don Juan DeMarco or Don Juan. And so thank you for not laughing at my name. Down there I tell people, just call me, my middle name's William, Donald William Brown. Isn't that a unique name? And I tell them all the time, you know what, just call me Guillermo, because that is William in Spanish. And then they started calling me Memo, which I found out is a nickname for Guillermo. So, now you have the history of my name. The other thing I want to say is thank you guys for clapping on 2 and 4. I know it sounds funny, but down in Costa Rica, actually many Latin countries, they don't get 2 and 4. They always clap on 1 and 3. And as a musician, that drives me nuts. It's like, I want to scream when we're leading worship, can't you clap on 2 and 4? Anyway, so that brought me great joy this morning, hearing 1, 2, 3, 4. Today, you're going to here's some things that you're going to think, this guy is really sick. You know, we all have issues. We're all sinners saved by grace, correct? Anybody not a sinner here? Oh, somebody, you need to repent. Anyway, and then today's worship songs. Gosh, this happened to me at Placerville last week as well. Every single worship song spoke to the message that I was giving. And Paul, you didn't know what message I was giving, did you? One verse. It had the word conquer in it. Well, you know what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about Jesus. To anybody else, amen? I mean, it's okay. Not only are we going to talk about Jesus, but we are going to talk about giving glory to no one else but God. And today we're going to start in prayer, and then we're going to go into the Word. We're going to start in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and we're going to read portions of the seven letters to the churches in Revelation. But we don't want to do that without asking God for His Holy Spirit to take over, because I'm dumber than a bag of rocks on my own. So, Father, first of all, we want to give You praise and glory. There is no other God besides You. As much as the world tries to steal Your glory, that will never happen. And we thank You for this time, Father God. We also ask for Your forgiveness for what Your church has become. Lord, I know that this church body in Sacramento, has a heart for You to always give You honor and glory, and to not fall into all this madness that's going on in the world. And I do pray, Father God, that today this message that You have laid on my heart would touch the ears and the hearts of the people that are here, that we can always remember that it's about You and not about us. And so we thank You for this day. We thank You for the truth of Your word, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, first we're going to go through and just pick out some verses out of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the seven letters to the churches. Every one of these letters has two things, two main points. One is what they were lacking or doing wrong, and then the other was they got a blessing. But there was something in between those two that allowed them to be blessed. And so to the church in Ephesus, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to each to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." So even though the church of Ephesus had issues, as every church has issues, when we have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church, God provides a blessing. To the church in Smyrna, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death." And remember, the second death is reserved for those that have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. To the church in Pergamum, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it." To the church in Thyatira, it says, "The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give you authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." To the church in Sardis, it says, "The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." To the church in Philadelphia, it says, "The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. I never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And finally, in the church to the church of Laodicea, it says, "The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." We see forgiveness to these churches for things that they've done, but there needs to be repentance. The church in the United States, well, actually all over the world, is going downhill fast, is the only way I could say it. There's many issues in the church in the United States. In Costa Rica, we have issues as well as every church does because people are involved. Pastor Nick Treveri up in Placerville asked me after I got ordained, "What's the hardest thing about being a pastor?" And I told him, honestly, it's the people. If it wasn't for the people, this would be easy. But I'm a people too. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like Pastor Bob is a sinner saved by grace. And every morning I wake up and go, "God, why me? Why did you pick me?" And then I mean, this happens every morning. And then I think about it, pray about it. He says, "Why not you? You're no different than anybody else. Just dig into my word. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'll teach you. I'll teach you what to say. I'll teach you what not to say," which is a very important part. Learning not what to say. Or learning what not to say. Yeah, that's it. And so we see two things in these letters. We see what they had done wrong, and we see, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And that's followed by a blessing. See, God wants to bless us. His heart is to bless us. But we need to listen. We need to listen to Him. I'm one of those people, I might be very unusual, but I believe that the Word of God is infallible. I believe that there's not one single mistake in the Word of God. I believe that any issue that a person has, they can find the answer in the Word of God. The problem is we've grown too lazy to look for it. But we have instruction right here that we are to have ears to hear what the Spirit says to us. And who is the Spirit? He's the Paraclete. He's the Helper. He's the one that guides us to those verses, those passages of Scripture, to teach us, to show us what we need to know, to show us what we need to be overcomers, to be conquerors. Some translations, instead of conquerors, says overcomers. So that they're kind of the same. I like the word conquer better because it's, you know, more of a, "I'm a conqueror in Christ." But that's just me. You can say overcomer just as well. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Now, when we say all things, it's not a new house, a new car, new boat, better kids, better wife, better husband. You're stuck with those things. But what he's talking about is all things as it pertains to his will, to his desires for us. So who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. How many of us think about that? Jesus, the Savior of the world. Number one, he knows my name. He knows the amount of hair I have on my head. Thank you for that. It's a rough crowd. He knows me better than I know myself. But yet he loves me. There's times that I don't love me. I do something and go, ow. And I think that we all go through that at times. We make a decision that we just go, you know what? That was not a smart decision. Sure, we might suffer temporary consequences. But even suffering temporary consequences doesn't change the fact that Jesus loves us. That we don't have to roll over and play dead and just say, oh, I'm useless to God now. No, you're not. You're not. Satan wants you to feel you're useless to God, but you're not. Why? Because in Christ you're an overcomer. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen to that. The fact that our lives are now hidden in Christ, as it says in Galatians 3:3, that should drive us. Our lives are hidden in our Savior. So when God looks at Jesus, we're there. That's why God can be so forgiving. That's why he is so in love with us, because he sees Jesus. He sees us covered in the blood of the Lamb, washed clean. And we don't have to be ashamed of that. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to look at the facts. And the Bible is the only way, the only truth. Jesus is the only life. It's the only way to God the Father. That's the scripture that got me saved. When I fully understood that, I had to surrender everything. Everything to God. I praise God that that's been, 45 years ago? After going forward at 7 different altar calls, because I always felt the same after an altar call. So I'd go up, the next time there was an altar call, somebody finally grabbed me and pulled me aside and said, "Dude, what is up with you? What do you mean? I always feel the same after an altar call." He's going, "Yeah, so? Shouldn't I feel different?" He goes, "Some people do, some don't. Just one step in front of the other. Keep following God. Keep listening to what Jesus is telling you." Sure, it says that we're new creations in Christ Jesus. But that's not about your feelings. That's about God putting you on His divine workbench, and He's going to start chiseling away all those things that He wants to change about you, because this life is not about you. It's about what God desires for you to be. And I believe that's a big issue that the church has today, is we think it's all about us. We think that it's all about how we feel. But that's not true. Remember, we're God's workmanship. He's the potter. We're the clay. And if He doesn't like what He sees, He's going to smash us back down and start working us back together. I know that's happened a couple times in my life. He just didn't like the direction I was going. So He threw me back on the workbench and started reshaping me. And He just ended up making me bald and beautiful. I can't help it. It's not me, it's God. So we're called to be overcomers, called to be conquerors. So one might ask, what are we overcoming? What are we conquering? Well, there's a couple things, a few things, as a matter of fact. We're overcoming or conquering ourselves, our flesh. We're overcoming, conquering Satan. We're overcoming and conquering the world. If there is anybody here today that is walking around with one foot in the world and one foot in Christianity, you might as well put both feet in the world, because you cannot do that. You know, I was talking to a gentleman one time. He said, "Well, I'm kind of a fence sitter." "Well, what do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, I just don't know which direction to go." I said, "Okay, well, I'm here to push you off. Do you want to fall on the right side of the fence, or do you want to fall on the left side of the fence?" Right side of the fence meaning Christianity, left side of the fence meaning the world. He said, "Well, you put it that way, I don't know if I want to talk to you." I said, "Well, you made your choice then, didn't you?" So, we have to conquer our desire to make this life about us. We have to remember that to God be the glory. The Holy Spirit. Who did he bring glory to? God. Jesus. Who did he bring glory to? God. Who do we bring glory to? Hopefully God. I know a lot of us try to steal that glory. But we cannot do that. It's another thing that we have to conquer in our lives is our desire to be selfish, our desire to make this life about us. There's way too many churches around the world, especially in the United States, that have pastors that want their congregation to feel good about who they are. I really hate to say this, but the only time that we can feel good about who we are is when we realize that that doesn't really matter to God. What matters to God is he wants us to know who he is and to show him honor, to live for him. Now, I said something similar last year to a church that I was at speaking, and I had two ladies come up to me and just read me the riot act, saying, "You don't think God cares about who you are?" I go, "I never said that. God cares about who we think we are, but God knows who we are. And when we live our lives for Jesus Christ, when we live our lives for God, he knows who we are. He cares who we are. And we're walking in his will. And that's what we need to do. So do we, as believers, it seems that we have lost our desire to be obedient to God and his word. We think Christianity should be this way, or we think Christianity should be that way. But we forget that we have all the information we need right here. I don't remember who it was, but somebody was saying about how God verbally speaks to them every day. And this pastor said, "Well, God verbally speaks to me as well. The time he does that is when I read his word and I read it out loud." And that struck me because it's true. You know, when we believe that we've heard, and I'm sorry if I'm touching on controversial things, but I'm a controversial guy. When we believe that, you know, we sit there and say, "Oh yeah, this morning, you know, I was going to do this, but then the Lord spoke to me and said, oh, you know, you need to do this," and whatever they're supposed to do is contrary to God's word. Is that God? No. I'm not even paying attention to my notes here. So, I do want to talk about Costa Rica a little bit. I better hurry. So my question is, do you guys really want to be in God's will? Anybody not want to be in God's will? Okay. Just want to make sure, because we'll have to talk after this if you say yes. Then we've got to start thinking about these things. We got to start thinking and praying about us being obedient to His Word. We've got to start thinking and praying. I mean, is it 1st or 2nd Thessalonians 5:17 that says pray without ceasing? My mind just went blank. First, that's what I thought. Thank you, whoever that was. So, you know, that's not saying that we need to be in His prayer closet, in our prayer closet all day long, all night long, praying. It just means that we're to have open communication with God. That when He lays something on our heart, that we go to His Word and we look and we see what He's saying to us. That's what it's about. That's what our lives are about. And I want to encourage you forget about what the world is doing right now, because we know that as this world falls apart, God has got a plan. His plan has never changed. We knew through His Word that all this stuff was going to happen. So why are we surprised? Does that mean that we don't stand up? Does that mean that we don't tell the truth when we have the opportunity? No, it means we need to be more verbal than ever about the truth of God's Word. We need to stand toe to toe in love when we discuss these things with the woke people. See, as the world goes woke, the church should be waking up. I want to make sure everybody understands that I'm not saying we need to go woke. I'm saying that we need to wake up. We need to look and go, this is not right. When God opens the door for me to have opportunity, I need to speak the truth in love. And what that means is when you speak the truth in love, that means you are ready, willing, and able to walk through with that person that you're speaking the truth to whatever conclusion happens. That might be your opportunity to lead somebody to Jesus. But you need to be willing to walk through that. Galatians 6:1 says that if we find a brother or sister in sin, we're supposed to gently go to them. Because if we don't do it gently, then those very things that we're trying to speak to them about could begin happening to us. That's a paraphrase, so don't go, oh, it didn't say that. But that's what it means, okay? Okay, I'm going to cut out a couple pages here. On your own time, because I was going to read all of John chapter 17, the Gospel of John chapter 17, and that's where Jesus is praying to God the Father. And towards the end of that chapter, He starts talking about that we're in the world, but not of the world. That is so very important to remember. We exist in this world. We've been left here for a reason, to walk in this world. But we're not to be of the world. Even though we might dress the same, and in some instances, God forbid that we would dress the same as the world. But we look the same, but there should be something different about us. There should be something that people pick out in us and go, why are you different? That's the open door. That's when we look at them and say, well, the Holy Spirit that lives within me makes me different. My life with Jesus makes me different. Sure, some people are going to, you know, hair is going to go, woo, and they're going to run for the hills. Hopefully they'll run to Placerville. But that is not our responsibility. That's God's responsibility, what he does with them. We don't save anybody. We just show them who does save. So this is how we can be conquerors. Not because we're somebody special, but because we have somebody special interceding for us. We're being sanctified in the truth. Jesus glorified God the Father during his stay here. We are to do the same. Our purpose is to glorify God the Father. And that's why I say we are not as important as we wish we were. But God has given us the privilege of being the ones to glorify him. I hope this message was encouraging, because it should be encouraging, that God hasn't given up on us, and he's not going to give up on us. We can't give up on him. We can't sit here and go, you know what, the world has gone so far downhill, God's not in this. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. And even though things look bad one day, it's going to get worse. But if you're like me that believes in a pre-tribulation rapture, go ahead, let it get worse. But we got to pray. We got to pray, pray, pray. And we know God is in control. So we need to pray. I don't know if I said this before, but we need to pray. And when you get done praying, you need to pray. You know, now that I think about it, the greatest, most powerful tool that we have is the tool that is used by us the least. There should be, when's your prayer thing? Sunday night, except for this Sunday night, tonight, because nobody will be here. But every Sunday night, it should be more crowded than this. And I mean, we have the same issue at our church. And I mean, we don't have a large church. We only got about 40, 45 people. But prayer night, sometimes it's just me and Misha. That's my wife, by the way. And but we got to pray. I'm going to spend the last 10 minutes talking about Costa Rica. Actually, the memorial starts at 1, right? Costa Rica. So, as Pastor Bob said, we used to attend Calvary Placerville. Back in 2011, they were donated some property in Costa Rica with the desire for there to be a church started down there. And so they spent the first 5 or 6 years down there building a missions base and a little pastor's house, a parsonage, I guess. And once that was complete, there was a young couple that moved down there back in 2016. And I was working at the time and got laid off. And God decided it was time for me to not have a job anymore. And so I retired. Well, it was more of a involuntary retirement. And so Pastor Nick asked if we would like to go down to Costa Rica for a time, because my wife and I have been, in all of our married lives, been short-term missionaries. And so he wanted us to go down there. And so we decided in the beginning of 2018 to go down there and spend a couple months down there. Well, we got down there and we thought, well, and this is the Reader's Digest version. So we got down there and we thought, well, what can we really do in 2 months, you know, helping out this other couple? Well, we decided we're going to stay till the end of 2018. So there we were, September of 2018. August of 2018, this young couple said, hey, we really need to talk to you. And, you know, we thought, you know, I can be a little gruff at times. And so I thought that they had a problem with me because I get kind of bossy sometimes. And not as bossy as my, oh, this is being recorded, isn't it? Yeah. Strike that from the record. But I can be a little bossy at times. And so I thought that they were wanted to talk to us about my attitude, saying, you know, gosh, you know, we were here first and now you're kind of taking over. And so, but that's not what they wanted to talk about. They were a young couple and they decided they wanted to move back to the United States because they wanted to start having a family. Okay, you know, how can you fault them for that, right? So I called Pastor Nick and I said, hey, you know, these guys are leaving. We really need to pray about having a pastor down here because we're only going to be here to the end of 2018 and then we're going back and we've got a Bible study started. We've got, you know, this going on, that going on. And that's when Nick said, have you ever thought about being a pastor? And my out was always this, that Misha never wanted me to be a pastor because she knows me really well. And so she just didn't think I was pastor material. I didn't think I was pastor material. And I wasn't pastor material. And so one day we're driving down to the store, which is about a 45-minute drive from our house. And she said, I really got to talk to you. Okay, me being a man, being a husband, my first thought was, what did I do now? Well, I said, what, you know, okay, what? Go ahead, dump it out there. She said, I just really been praying about this the last month or so, and I really think that you need to be the pastor of the church. And I slammed on the brakes, pulled over to the side of the road, and I went, what? I go, you are always my ace in the hole. I knew that I wouldn't have to pastor the church because you wouldn't want me to. And so I didn't have that anymore. So I just said, Lord, is this you? Is this you? And sure enough, it was him. And so I called Nick, and there we are 6 years later, pastoring the church. So one of the things about Costa Rica that a lot of people are surprised is that it's just as expensive as the United States, and even more expensive when it comes to gas and food. Very expensive. And so But God opened the door for us because our church, the size of our church was increasing, and we needed a new place to have church. And so God opened the doors for us to rent a building down in a town called Vuelta de Jorco, which just means the turnaround. And so we went down there and started looking, and just this place fell into our laps. And we were renting a almost 2,000 square foot building that used to be a church, used to be a skating rink, used to be a bar, used to be a skating rink, used to be a bar and a skating rink. Oh, and a place where you play video games, arcade. And so it was all set up perfectly to be a church. And spoke to the guy that was leasing it, and he gave it to us for 400,000 colones, which is in American dollars, is just less than $800 a month. So, yeah, unbelievable. So, Pastor Nick said, okay, you have a year to be able to raise the funds to be able to pay for that yourself. They're helping us out right now. And I'm not here to ask for money. I'm here to ask for prayer. Because, now, through your prayers, if God says, you know, throw them a couple of fish every now and then, we're not going to turn it away. But that's not what I'm here for. Please, I'm serious. So, please be praying for that during your Sunday night prayer times, that God would provide. He's provided so far. And just the way everything happened, I have no doubt that He will provide some way, somehow. And I know a lot of it has to do with me just having faith, because when you're faced with having to pay that much money and you don't see where it's coming from, boy, faith struggles. So please be praying for that. If anybody wants to ask me any questions, oh, the other thing I wanted to say is we do have a missions base down there. If there's a team of people that want to come down to come alongside of us and do outreach stuff or just give us a little break, serve in the church, do any maintenance stuff on the property, all you got to do is get a hold of me, and we can work out a date. Now, we have rainy season and we have dry season. Right now, we're just starting rainy season. August, September, October, we usually end up having about 4 to 8 inches of rain a day. So, probably not the best time to come. Unless you want to sit inside all day and play Uno or some other game they play. I don't know what it is. I'm not a game player. And I can, if you go on Calvary Chapel Placerville's website, there up at the top, there's a button that says Costa Rica, and it has all of our contact information there. My wife's not here with me, as I said before, so I didn't dress properly. I don't have any of the materials that I should have, but I have the most important material right here. So, anyway, let's pray. Thank you guys for having me again. Again, I hope this message was encouraging. I hope it was discouraging to those that aren't walking with the Lord. But it would be encouraging to drive you back to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today's the day, man. Because we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Wow. 11:30. I better shut up. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that in Christ Jesus we are more than conquerors. That we conquer through you, the one that provides our strength, the one that provides our salvation, the one that provides everything to us for life and godliness. I thank you for this church. I thank you for Pastor Bob and Barbara. Such a blessing that they are to my wife and I. And just, I pray, Father God, that you would bring increase to this church. That you would bring everything that they need to survive this crazy world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.